Hey, welcome everybody to the Nerdy Rat. This week we're going to be talking about baby rats, Supergirl, Doctor Who, and I saw Transformers, so you don't have to. And our theme song.
I could really hear the parakeets this week on the theme song. Yeah, I mean they're there every week, but it
yeah,
was especially
at some
distinct.
Point we'll have to go back and maybe record it in a less parakeet.
I don't know what we'd even do with the parakeets though. Maybe we could shut the door to their room.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, they add ambiance. They're the percussion section.
That's true. It's like you can probably also hear the rats running if they wake up during the podcast every
that's
episode.
Right that's
I know
right
some of the episodes I know you can definitely hear that
you can
so,
hear kittens sometimes but anyway,
welcome to episode 8 of the Nerdy Rat. It is June 26th. It's
yep.
Monday and we are Matt and Liz.
Yep.
Or Liz and Matt if you preferred.
Yes, either way, alphabetical.
So we got our first review on iTunes. Somebody
Yay!
Is actually listening to this podcast.
Oh my gosh, hooray.
So
thank you.
Let me just thank you to Emily from Vancouver. She very nice. She said, "Hey guys, we discovered your podcast recently and just love it. My boyfriend and I are about to get our first little girl rats in the next couple of months. It was such a coincidence to find this podcast where my love of all things nerd and my newfound interest in keeping rats are combined. Keep it up." Thank you so much for that. That really means a lot. That I was starting to wonder if like anyone was actually going to listen to a podcast about pet rats and nerd related media.
Yeah, well,
but that's
exciting.
It's
very exciting.
You know, I hope your new girls are doing well. Drop us a line. Let us know. Nerdyrat@gmail.com is where you can reach us. Anybody that wants to send us mail, we will respond in one of our episodes.
Absolutely. So. And I've tried to be a little bit more proactive in the last couple of weeks about putting it out there on Facebook, updating the Twitter page. So, you know,
yeah.
Hopefully
and
we're getting a little more advertising
going
on with it.
I've been trying to hang out in the Discord for the rat subreddit and answer people's questions.
Yeah.
If they ask questions and I happen to see it.
So thanks to our listeners.
Yeah, I've had some good interactions on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing we were going to talk about today is something that I was seeing in a lot of the Facebook groups is a lot of people who are ending up accidentally with baby rats. And we're not going to talk about that so much because people... don't intend to for the most part.
It's super common with rats because especially if you get your rats from a pet store, mm-hmm. pet stores are notoriously bad at sexing and separating rats appropriately.
Right.
And
right.
It's a commonplace to pick up a single rat
uh-huh.
From a pet store, come home,
and she's
two
pregnant.
Weeks later, you've got 10 babies.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And then there's people too who thought they were getting two same-sex rats
yeah.
and they weren't. I mean, a few people are leaving the boys and girls in together, which is dumb. But I mean, aside from that, you know, somebody had rescued one and the mom had babies and, you know. So, yeah, you know, what we want to talk about today is how to care for a pregnant mama or a mama who just gave birth and how to take care of the babies or support her in taking care of the babies.
Yeah.
Because we do have experience with our fostering with Small Angels Rescue. We
yeah.
were
before
so
we,
excited.
Before
do you
we
want to
get
go
into
that?
That story, do you want to just talk about Pinky and Rojo real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about our own fosters
yeah,
before we
so
get into
we've
that.
Had we've had these fosters for a couple of weeks now, Pinky and Rojo.
We talked about them last episode,
were,
I think, pretty extensively.
Yeah,
but why don't
so
you review? Recap.
In the past couple of weeks, we've gotten them fixed, and they are now living together very happily.
Yes.
Mites
are gone.
Mites
all
are
the scabs
up.
Are healed up.
I think Pinky still has a little scab that's almost gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rojo's still on medicine, but he's going to a forever family that's very familiar with and is going to keep him on the medicine.
Now,
and
that's the medicine for the respiratory infection.
Yeah,
he's on the Baytril and the doxycycline.
And I believe she understands that he may need to be on that for an
pulsed
extended.
Pulsed on and off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe an extended period of time, depending on how he does. So. Mm-hmm.
And now that's because if you don't remember, he had come in, unfortunately, with a pretty bad respiratory infection to the rescue. So he's been on both Baytril and Oxy twice a day for at least a couple weeks. Now, it had almost cleared up before he went in to get neutered, which it would have had to, because getting neutered can flare it up again. And also being under anesthesia is dangerous if he's got an active respiratory.
I think his breathing got a little bit worse afterwards. So that's why we're having to keep him on it.
Yeah.
But I think he's doing better.
Yeah,
now.
I think it's just because of the immune system having to kind of reboot and heal from the surgery.
Well,
and
being
sedated
suppresses the immune system too. So.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's not as bad as it was when he came in, and I think it's definitely getting better again. So.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he's going to a family with one other male rat. So there'll be three of them together. I'm really excited. I think they're going
to
do well.
I am too. And the mom is someone who knows how to do the rat introduction, so she'll make sure not to just throw them all into a cage together.
They're so sweet too, though.
They are.
I don't think they'll have any problems with introductions.
Them maybe not, but I hope, you know, it's possible the other rat.
Well, if
might,
the other one's super aggressive,
yeah,
it can always be a problem.
You never know. You never know.
They're so sweet. They're just like, they're sweet with people too. They're not just sweet with.
They're
with
sweet
me.
With each other too, though. Like, they really enjoy being groomed. Mm-hmm. Like, some of our rats in our own cage, like, they can kind of fuss when the other one holds them down to groom them. But these two love it. It's just like they're so excited when the other one licks them.
I had them in the pouch earlier today. Uh-huh. They were like just passed out. Like, I was petting their heads and they were just like passed out. And like, Rojo started bruxing and he was like.
Now what's that?
That's when they like kind of grind their teeth and like eyes like boggle.
Parakeets do that.
Yeah, it's like when they're really happy, they'll do
that. Oh, my parakeet I had when I was a little kid used to do that all the time. He'd like grind his little beak and because he was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of the bonding pouches, Matt had them in his sweatshirt pouch, but I actually made two new bonding pouches this week for our ratties. One is to go with them to their forever home, but. One was because I had a pretty tiny bonding pouch that really only fits two rats. And our little boy, Toro, who we introduced into our pack, and we talked about him a couple episodes ago, he had been living alone his whole life. So he's still having some trouble fitting in with the other rats in the cage. And honestly, some of our baby rats are kind of mean girls. Like, they'll intimidate him and
girls.
Scare
They're kinda
him.
They're kind of spoiled.
They really are. And I was wondering if it's because their biological mom, Nim, is the alpha in the cage. And do you remember when we saw that Disney monkey documentary a couple years ago?
Uh-huh.
That was interesting because they were talking about how the biological female, who's the leader of the prime female or whatever, her babies get eating preference over the other rats. Because this week they were being so aggressive, like they were chasing both Toro and Fievel away from their dinner. And I was like, oh no, we're not having that.
They're definitely kind of spoiled.
Yeah. So I wanted to make a bigger bonding pouch so that they could all snuggle in the pouch together. And it's kind of like forced bonding.
Yeah.
You know, not just with me, but with each other.
It's a nice pouch. That'll fit like almost all of them.
Exactly. That's why I made it that big, because I wanted to be able to get Toro in there with at least one of the other rats he's already comfortable with. And then a lot of the little baby girls, so they can just kind of like chill out and start being nice to him.
I would never want to go more rats in the cage that we have now. Because I feel like with the only reason we're having kind of these issues is because we're at 9 now in the double critter nation.
I don't know if that's why we're having the issues as much as it is that we got the boys in the cage. And
yeah, that's true.
You know, the thing is, before we had the boys, we had the most docile old lady rats you could possibly hope for. And they actually knew the girls since they were like 6 weeks old. Yeah. So the little girls weren't really going to challenge them because they were actually babies when they met Tippy Toe and Doreen and Athena, you know. And then also the old ladies were just so docile that they completely pampered and spoiled those babies.
Yeah, very
so true. I kind of think the issue is now that we've got three non-related young male rats in the cage, you know, and they're not going to take crap and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's all minor issues. I think they're all relatively happy.
Oh, it is.
Happy.
It is. Like, they are. I agree.
We don't see any like knockdown, drag out fights.
No,
it's mostly
no.
just people complaining. And
exactly.
Squeaking.
Exactly. Well, and then they're doing what I call the mean girls stuff, because they're not being like physically aggressive to attack him, but like they're staring down Toro, and like they know he's scared of them, so like they'll just intimidate him and they'll chase him away from the food even though they're not touching him, you know. So but yeah, but I think it's not a huge deal. I just think it's interesting that now we're kind of starting to see more of the actual pack dynamics in our little happy utopia.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of an anomaly while we had that going on.
Yeah, well, we'd also lost a lot of our alphas, yeah, too. So
we had, like Nim, and you know, the girls were babies and
left with a lot of docile,
exactly,
little ratties.
Exactly. So
yeah, so let's talk about the what to do if you end up with baby rats. And
we
had an experience with this maybe 6 months ago when we brought in a this rat. We called Mama.
Yeah, now the rescue brought her in.
The
rescue
brought
her
in, and the situation was the lady that had her ended up with a male and female, and then she had babies.
I think,
or was it just
a
single rat?
She just had a single rat.
She had a single rat.
The rat had babies.
It had three babies. It had one boy and two girls, which was Mama and her sister, and then the boy, right?
Yeah.
And then she left them in past 5 weeks, and then the two babies got pregnant.
Right.
And then
by
they had, they both had a litter of like, what, 12? Or they both had a litter of
large
six,
litters.
I think.
Large litters.
Well, because when we got her, it was Mama by herself, and she was nursing six, I think. Babies.
Yeah, so when the rescue took in the rats, what they did is, because there was two pregnant mothers, they split the girls and boys at that time because the girls were co-parenting. So we got all the girl babies, so we didn't have to worry about splitting them.
And then another foster got all the boys.
Right, another foster family got the other nursing mom with all the baby boys. A third foster got the actual ratty mommy, and somebody else got the ratty brother, who was also daddy, brother/daddy. So now at that time we had the non-nursing mom emergency spayed in case she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Actually, she wasn't pregnant, which was kind of a miracle, but we couldn't spay the nursing moms because they were nursing.
Yeah. And at this point, both Mama and her sister were both pregnant again.
But
we didn't realize that.
The rescue didn't know either because they weren't showing.
And the problem was that she had left the boy in there.
Right.
Even
Why
when they were nursing.
The babies?
And at the point that our coordinator was like, get the boy out of there, she like took him and put him in the ferret cage with other ferrets.
With the ferret. I know.
So we got them all out of that situation. But now we have Mama. She's got six babies that she's nursing.
Right.
And then as the other ones are about to hit 5 weeks where they're weaned and we can start adopting them out.
We notice she's really looking chubby.
Enormous. And we send a picture to Teresa,
our
the
coordinator. Yeah.
And we say, hey, is she pregnant? She looks really fat. And she's like, oh, she is about to pop.
Yeah. And it was too late for an emergency spay at that point.
And I think the next day she had 12 babies.
So, well, and Teresa gave us some advice, because now Mom, when she had come in, she had been kept in just a tub, and there was no igloo, there was no nesting material. So she was so grateful to us already, because she had an igloo, she had all the nice paper litter. So Teresa told us to rip up a bunch of paper towels and put them in the cage so she could make a nest. And she did. She made herself a really nice nest. And then she gave birth. Now, I could tell the next day that she had given birth, because I didn't see the babies at first, and I didn't want to go poking around in there.
Did you hear them squeaking, though?
No, because at first I went in there, and Mama looked exhausted. Like, she looked like she had just given birth. Like, she looked absolutely dragged out, exhausted. So I was like, I think she had the babies, but she wasn't nursing at the moment. The babies really only squeak when they're nursing. So I didn't hear the babies at first, but then later in the day I heard the squeaking, and I was like, yeah, she had her babies.
Yeah. What happens is when they have their babies, you'll hear the squeaking, really.
If they're nursing, and hopefully they will be nursing.
The best thing to do is to just leave them alone and let the mother do its
take
work
care of them.
Because she knows what to do. She'll take care of them. And
Now, we said, ripping up the paper towels is good so she can have nesting material. Make sure there's an igloo. You should have an igloo anyway for your rats, but make sure there's an igloo so that she, if she wants to, she can put them in the igloo.
Yeah. Do me a favor, hon. Just hold the mic a little bit closer to you.
Oh.
Because I feel like it's getting... Yeah, there you go. That's better.
All right. Okay. My chair probably rolled back.
Yeah. So, but the mother will know what to do. And I think for the first couple of weeks, it's really important just to leave her alone and let her do her own thing.
Now, you can support her. She needs some extra protein. So giving her scrambled eggs is good as a supplement. Also oatmeal, like cooked oatmeal she would like. Now, I'm curious what to do if there's other adult rats in the cage.
Really, there shouldn't be.
But you know, people have these emergency situations where there might be other girl rats in the cage who are adults. You should take them out, probably.
Well, I think for girls, a lot of times you can leave them, but if you have a spare cage, it's not a bad idea to remove the other just so they won't
go out. Like,
I think girls will generally leave them alone.
Yeah.
If you have boys, definitely you have to get them out.
Exactly. Like, if you didn't know you had opposite sex rats, for example, and one has babies, you have to get the boy out of there.
Even if you get the boys fixed while she's nursing, it's a good idea to take them out especially if they're not the father, they'll have a tendency to attack the babies too.
Yeah, they could kill the babies. And even if they are the father, like, first of all, even if you take them out and immediately get them neutered, it still takes a good week for them to be completely sterile. They'll mess with mom. They'll mess with the babies. It's good if it can
just be mom and her babies. Yeah.
Our situation, because mama still had 6-week-old baby girls, we actually had 4 that were about to get adopted. So we put them in a separate cage because they had been weaned.
Yeah, I eventually pulled all of her older babies out and put them in their own cage to get them ready to be adopted. Just I didn't want them distracting her, but
two of them were helping. Two of them were actually co-parenting with her. Well, they weren't nursing, they weren't nursing, but what they would do is the two who weren't up for adoption right away, they stayed in there with her and they would keep the nest warm for her while she took her little nap. Because typically what you'll see is the mom rat will nurse them for a while and then she'll go crawl off by herself when they're really young
and look like she's about to die.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, oh my goodness.
Now, once the babies start to crawl, she can't escape. Because remember when mama first came into us and she had the little babies, she was so tired and they would just be crawling all over her to nurse. And they were like...
at 2 to 3 weeks when they get their fur and their eyes are starting to open and they're...
Babies don't have their eyes open at first. They're not born with fur, in case you don't know.
So once they have fur, like between 2 and 3 weeks, you can probably... If the mother will let you, it's not a bad idea to go ahead and clean the cage at that point. That's what we did. And I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks.
It was at least 2 weeks. So you should give her a good 2 weeks by herself where you don't touch the babies. You don't pick them up. But what we did is we took mama out. Well, not while mama's in there for the first 2 weeks.
The danger is that the mother will attack you.
Yeah.
That's the reason we say not just kind of leave her alone.
Exactly.
And now... when we had mama, she was pretty bitey early on and she was real defensive. So during the first couple of weeks that she was nursing, I wasn't really, touching the babies or anything, but I would pick her up with a glove on. I'd have gloves on and I'd hold her for a couple minutes every day.
Yeah. Now our
rescue. To get her used to being held. And
exactly.
That helped a lot because by the time her babies were 4 or 5 weeks, she was not biting me at all. She trusted me and I could pick her up without any problems.
Exactly.
And the babies were all very sweet too. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Now, so that's something our rescue coordinator had told Matt to do is like to give her forced interaction. And that's actually something I see a lot on the forums too, is people ask, you know, they say my rats don't like me. They won't come up and play with me. And you do generally have to force the interaction at first.
I get some mixed opinion. I was actually discussing this on the Discord, and some people think you should give the rats more time and let them come to you on your own. I don't really know. Like, I think you should definitely give them a day or two to get used to a new environment.
But
I feel like after a day, especially if they're not coming up to you,
right? Because the thing is with rats, like, they just won't.
Yeah,
like,
you can try and get them to come out with like food and stuff, but I found the best success has been just picking them up. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're bitey, wear a glove so they can't bite you.
Right.
Pick them up, hold them for a minute.
Like up to your chest. Hold them up on your chest.
To your chest.
just, you know, for a minute
interact
or two
with them for 30 seconds to a minute.
Talk to them kindly, pet their little heads, yeah, you know.
And then put them back, give them a treat, mm-hmm, and then do it
a couple
an
hours
hour
later.
A couple
exactly
hours later. Do that
multiple times a day,
I think,
not
you
just
do that
once
a couple
a day.
Time, like, if you do that several times a day, you do it consistently, mm-hmm, and you let them know that they get rewarded afterwards, mm-hmm, and that it's not, that they're not in danger. Most rats will come around
right
after a week of doing that.
Right. You know, now, also, if you're sure that the rats aren't going to run away, like, or you could catch them, what you can do then is start to cuddle with them on the bed. And what's I found always works well with our shy girls is to have a cover over you while you're laying on the bed, and then put the rats under the cover, because they get very comfortable running all over your body. Now, you have to be comfortable with having little ratty feet on your legs and yeah tummy and all of that. But if you can just lie still, they'll get really comfortable running all over you, and yeah, they'll get comfortable with your body and your scent, and they'll get used to you, and they'll yeah be a lot
you
friendlier.
You can always take like a shirt and of yours and put it in the cage with them too, and then they'll associate your scent with.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've done that before too. Oh, okay, that's not yeah a bad idea. Like
a shirt that you've worn, not a clean shirt.
Yeah, if a rat is like traumatized and you can't even pick it up without mm-hmm it like freaking out, then maybe you need to take it a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Try one thing I did with a couple of my rats one time was mm-hmm I would take baby food and put it on a spoon,
uh-huh,
and then feed it to them at the cage, and they'd come up and they'd,
oh, okay,
they'd lick it off the spoon. And
yeah,
then, you know, and that's one way. Like mm-hmm every rat is different, so every mm-hmm approach is going to have to be tailored for how that rat is, and that's rat's unique situation.
Right. And just a couple of good pointers: don't ever stick your hand like inside the igloo when they're in there, or inside a hammock when they're in there, because they'll get scared and yeah they'll bite you. Make a fist even if they're out in the cage, and like put your fist up to them and let them sniff your fist first if yeah they're shy, and then, you know, then try to pet them.
Basically just to see if they're going to try and bite your
exactly
fist.
Exactly. Well, and also so they know it's not food, because sometimes yeah they think a finger is food and they'll chomp on you, not meaning to, but they think you're offering them a treat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's all of these things are good ideas, and I think there's no perfect way to do it. I think the one thing I say with kind of forcing the issue and mm-hmm why I recommend it is because I think a lot of people are afraid of hurting their rats,
yes,
or afraid of traumatizing their rats.
Right. Right.
And you're not going to traumatize your rat by picking it up.
No.
It's, you know, unless it's a wild rat that's never been never interacted with people.
Right.
And even then, you know, eventually it's going to have to be comfortable with you handling it,
exactly,
if you're going to be caring for it. So,
exactly.
And
so,
it's not it may be scary for them at first, but the more you do it and the more
mm-hmm
you get that positive reinforcement mm-hmm when you do it with like giving
right
them food and, you know,
right,
letting them know that they're not in danger, putting them back.
Right.
You know, they learn right that it's not a scary thing.
Exactly.
That's the only way.
Get,
so don't be afraid of your rats, and don't be afraid of traumatizing your
yeah
rats.
So just going back to wrap up about Mama a little bit too. So after about 2 to 3 weeks, our coordinator came and she just wanted to get a count of the babies, and she sexed the babies at that point.
Yep.
Although we didn't separate them because they were still nursing. You don't separate until 5 weeks, but you have to separate at 5 weeks.
At 5 weeks.
But she told us to take Mama out of the cage sometimes and put her in a separate cage. So we, once the babies were crawling around and their eyes were open, and then pick the babies up and hold them and play with them after, yeah, again, 2 to 3 weeks, so that they get comfortable with human touch, because yeah then they'll become really tame ratties.
That's
and
the best
they
time to socialize
yeah
them.
They'll become really tame ratties, and then you won't have all these issues that people are talking about with rats that they get later in life that are scared of humans and they aren't tame
yeah
and
good,
all of that.
Good breeders should do that too.
Well, we hope nobody's breeding, but
well, you and me disagree on that, because I think like without responsible breeders, we wouldn't have rats at all. But it's like a necessary thing to have rats, but there are a lot of irresponsible breeders out there. So
yeah, we'll disagree, because I feel like there's so many accidental births and overloads of rescues and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people just breed for food, but we wouldn't get on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, those are some tips with the babies if you have the babies. And like I said, the best thing is just you have to separate them at 5 weeks old, because you will end up with an explosion of baby rats if you don't. And that will overwhelm even a rescue or a shelter.
Yeah.
So you have got to. And, you know, I noticed some people on the forums are having some issues telling if the little 5-week-old babies are male or female. Someone said she actually takes her finger and feels for the testicles because if they're too small, you might miss them and you don't want to miss sex. And you can always call a local rescue and ask them to help you sex the babies.
Yeah, with the majority of rats by 5 weeks, it should be pretty obvious. It should be
pretty obvious, right.
There are, of course, exceptions. If you have one that's like a runt or something, it's possible.
And I think, didn't we have a rat once that had like an undescended testicle?
No, my mother's cat did.
Oh, though. Your cat did. Well, okay.
So
yeah, usually on rats they're pretty obvious, but yeah, but you know you don't want to make any mistakes with sexing the babies. So
yeah, and don't be afraid to reach out for help if you end up in that situation.
Exactly.
Too.
You know, well, and also because most people who have it happen, it's an accident, and they're not equipped to have two cages forever, one of male rats and one of female rats, and it's usually more rats.
Worst case scenario, too, if you're in that situation where you need to separate rats, like it's not ideal, but you can take Tupperware bins and fill them with litter and use them for temporary until you can go out and get yourself like some sort of actual cage. You can also make like your own like temporary cages if you like cut out. You take Tupperware bins and then cut out the sides and put chicken wire and attach it with zip ties. I've done that before.
Yeah. And it's not really ideal, though, because the air circulation isn't good. It's not ideal,
but if you've got a situation where you've got to get rats separated because you have one boy, then
like if your female has babies and you're like, oh, my God, I have to take this male out of here right now. Yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But hopefully you'll be able to go. Grab even like a cheap $20 cage or something at the pet store is better than having the mail in there. So
you've got local animal news update for us.
Oh yes, Liz. Our little baby eagles that I keep tabs on through the DC Eagle Watchers cam, which we'll again post the link to. So both baby eagles now have fledged, which means they took their very first flight out of the nest. Now, people in the eagle group are happy because they're still so far living in the nest, but I think it's not going to be long until they leave and go out on their own. So
when they fledged is when they take their first flight?
Yes. Now, there's been a lot of drama in the eagle group because there have been some false fledges and some almost fledges and accidental fledges. So, like, at first they were like, oh, so-and-so fledged. But then they were like, no, she just fell out of the branch and it wasn't a real fledge. So it was really cool. They had videos that they had made of when the real fledging took place. And it was so cool because they're standing on the branch and they're flapping their wings, getting ready to go. And then all of a sudden they lift off and they go. So it's really exciting. So when they just accidentally fell and fluttered and caught themselves, like that wasn't a real fledge.
It was a semi-fledge.
Yeah, it was an oops, I fell, but I caught myself with my wings. But yeah, so far they're still in the nest, but they're going to be heading out pretty soon. But then their parents will still be on the eagle cam. So.
Well, so do we expect the parents to have more babies come next year?
I'm guessing. Probably. I think eagles stay mated for life. So I would assume there probably would be more babies next year. Yeah.
So how is this helping the eagle population in the United States? I mean,
I'm sure it is. I mean, bald eagles are still on the critically endangered list, right? We'll have to Google that. But I mean, I know when I was a kid, bald eagles were on some kind of endangered animal list.
I thought they were like seriously.
I thought so too, actually. I thought they were pretty bad. And I don't know if they've been coming back in the wild yet or not. So we'll have to look that up. But I mean, yeah, I was surprised this year. And this is partly why I've been following it so much, because I didn't even know bald eagles lived in our area. I thought they only lived out west.
According to Google, it says on August 9, 2007, the bald eagle was removed from the federal list of threatened and endangered species. After nearly disappearing from most of the United States decades ago, the bald eagle is now flourishing across the nation.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good.
No longer needs protection of the Endangered Species Act.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. So it's completely off the list. Because sometimes they upgrade people from like critical to threatened or vulnerable.
Well, they did that with the pandas.
Yeah.
They're still
vulnerable or something like
but
that.
But they're not like
endangered. They're not critically endangered or something. So. But that's really good for the bald eagles, especially because for the bald eagles, they actually are living out in the wild. Whereas I think the pandas got off the list just because there's so many in captivity. But not necessarily.
Their
habitat is still being destroyed. So yeah, for the bald eagles, that is really exciting. And actually, I think there is a second pair of adults in DC, but they might only have the cameras on the one pair. But there's a second.
Do we
pair.
Not have the funding for multiple Eagle cams?
They're cutting funding right and left in DC for everything. So yeah, I think we should be.
I mean, nobody really uses the Metro. Let's just give that money to the DC Eagle.
Exactly,
cams.
Exactly. Let's have panda cams and eagle cams and all kinds of animal cams because, right, nothing else seems to be going well.
All right.
And at least we could cheer up watching animals. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that update.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll try to keep you up to date on all the local animal news yes. here in the Washington, D.C. area.
I know, right? We'll have to find another topic
to
discuss.
Were we doing
the
podcast
when the nest?
Were we doing the podcast when the bobcat escaped? I can't remember.
I can't remember if we were or not.
I feel like we did.
Maybe. We might have either just started. Yeah, I can't remember if we did it with the escaped bobcat
at
the zoo.
I think we did, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to some nerd topics.
Nerd topics.
Nerdy topic. The nerdy part of the nerdy
rat. The nerdy part. So, Doctor Who, we just watched this past week's episode. I am so bummed because the week before, they totally spoiled the ending of the episode in the preview trailer at the end of last week's episode.
And we'll tell you right now, we're going to do spoilers everything we talk about.
Yeah, so spoilers, but it's not even our fault for the spoilers.
If you watched last week's episode of Doctor Who and watched the trailer at the end, they gave away the two biggest points of this show, which I, you know, with the way they advertised it, I thought like John Sim's master would show up in the Cybermen would show up right away.
Right.
But it was this like really slow burn throughout the episode.
It was a mystery.
It was supposed to be a mystery. And it would have been a really good one.
It would have been awesome and a really cool reveal.
If I wasn't just sitting around waiting for these characters to show up and I know. Oh, this is the genesis of the Cybermen.
Exactly. Because immediately we were like, oh, these are the original Cybermen. Yep. But it's like if we hadn't seen that in the preview, we might not have realized right away what these things were.
It would have been so cool.
I know. And then also the reveal with John Sims, like that would have been pretty cool too.
Oh, yeah.
Except we already knew it was coming. And so we figured it out. Oh.
Yeah. And it's like,
it was a pretty good episode, actually, for the most part.
I don't know why they would do that with the trailer. If we watch the last episode, we're gonna watch the next episode.
I know,
like,
Doctor Who fans, you don't need to hook us in.
And that's why I really hope they don't announce the next Doctor before we get the next Doctor because
I feel
like when they announced Capaldi, it was all this pomp and circumstance around it, and like they had this event. Where they were going to reveal it.
Oh,
and
really?
I
didn't see all that.
Okay, so it was like they did this like live, and it wasn't the show. It was like just this live special that they put on
where
they talked about how great Doctor Who was.
Right.
And then at the end of the show, they announced the new Doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it's like, oh, it's Peter Capaldi. And none of, I mean, I didn't know who he was.
Everyone in Britain knew who he was. Because I read some article that, like, when they did the reveal in Britain, and now I understand this. I had read some article that, like, it was like a national event, and everyone in the apartment complex was screaming at the same time when they announced Capaldi. And
but it's like they announce it, and he comes out, and they're like, so you're Doctor Who, huh? And he's like, yep, cool. And then they're like, end it. And it's like, that's my first interaction with this new Doctor, is him just like, he's never been the character. He's just like, hi, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for making me the Doctor. It's like, I want it to be like, I want this kind of stuff to be a surprise. And
I don't know that the casting could ever be a surprise just because of the way they need to like drum up advertising and whatever. I don't know.
How much, you have such a loyal base of people watching your show that they suffered through last season.
I know.
To get to this point where you're actually writing
last two seasons,
decent stories now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're just going to spoil everything ahead of time. Like, it's the same problem with movie trailers in the U.S. right now.
Well, at least there's a solution to this problem because our solution is we're going to turn the TV off during the credits so we don't watch the
previews the trailers
anymore. Yeah, we're not going to watch
it. And then they posted on their Facebook, too.
Well, I'm not going to follow them on Facebook. But because you know what? I'm going to have to make sure I unfollow everything Doctor Who on Facebook. Because, I am kind of really pissed that it ruined it.
It totally ruined this episode. And the thing was, it was written by Moffat, and it was really well done.
I didn't like that he had Missy going, I'm Doctor Who. And, making like, oh, that is the Doctor's name. He made it up for himself. And it seemed like the Doctor was kind of admitting that he made that up for himself as a nickname.
I wasn't sure if he was jesting or not. It was just her joking.
But he then seemed to acknowledge it to Bill. I don't know. I'm like, well, okay, it might not be his real name, but why does Moffat even have to go there? Like, come on, Moffat. Could you not leave one thing sacred? Like, leave something untouched.
You know,
people have been irritated for decades that the guy's name is not Doctor Who and people call him Doctor Who. Yeah. Like, now how are we going to be able to separate the nerds from the non-nerds? Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, because when I first saw the episode and I saw the way the ship was positioned by the black hole, I was like, are they going to talk about the time dilation? And that became a key part of the story. And I was like, wow, good job on understanding how black holes work.
No, especially because they specifically said the ship was over 400 miles long because it was a colony ship. So it was an unusually long ship
Although I doubt running the engines at full speed are going to stop you from being sucked into a black hole. But whatever. It's a TV show. It's a TV show. It's fantasy.
It was pretty scientifically accurate as far as things go. So...
Yeah, so let me ask, so what do you think of the season of Supergirl we've been watching, the one that just came out on Netflix?
Yeah, so it's season two. I would say it's a little better than last season. I still have major issues with the writing, being lazy. But I do feel like they are at least starting to address a little bit of the obviousness and the laziness that they throw in. And I have like some of the storylines this year.
Just kind of had to accept that the writing is always going to be bad on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching it for the characters and the actors that are in it because they have been the only thing carrying this show for a long time.
Well, I like since the Kara. Started. I like the Kara and Mon-El storyline. Now, we just got up to the episode where they did the Flash crossover. So she had like just broken up with Mon-El in a fit because she found out he's a prince. And then we already had seen the Flash episode where they get back together.
His arc has kind of really made sense to me.
Yeah. And actually, like, I feel like the Kara and Mon-El arc has made a lot of sense because he's finally calling her out on how arrogant she is and how judgmental she is.
He was also like, he started out as kind of a real douchebag.
Yes.
And he's really like come to real, like you've really seen him grow as a character, like realizing
I like that a lot,
realizing how terrible he is.
Exactly.
And I like that. I like him overall.
I do like him overall. And actually, I really disliked him when he first started. So I think that's a great testament to the fact that they've done his storyline well. And I've also, at first I was hesitant about the Maggie Alex, her name's Alex, right? Her sister.
Yeah, I think so.
Storyline, because I was worried that at first it seemed like they weren't even going to address the fact that Alex has never expressed that she was gay or bi. And I thought like, oh, they're just going to like start this relationship out of the blue without actually addressing her orientation at all. But then I thought, oh, they stopped and they actually did have it. Her like go through some stuff, figuring it out and having some emotional reactions to it and stuff. So I was like, well, okay. So at least they did pause on that. Now I wasn't pleased with that. Maggie seemed to be leading her on at first and forcing her to come out. And then she's like, oh, by the way, I don't like you. Like,
yeah. I mean, there's definitely some points in the show where I'm just like, I'm not sure if this is bad writing or they just want to make this character look like a complete a-hole.
Like, I know.
Like when Alex comes out to Kara and then Kara's Kara. Like,
yes,
Kara
car,
gets
yes.
like angry or something.
Yeah, she seemed really judgmental.
And I was like, why?
I know.
Like,
we both were like, what is that about?
Like
what is
Kara's
it?
Always come across as super progressive. Why? What is her problem?
I know.
And then like the next scene, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And like the excuse she gives for like acting weird makes no sense to me. I'm like,
no. And actually, you know what? That was where I was starting to get really frustrated with Kara as a character. But then Mon-El started calling her out on her BS. And I was like, oh, so now Mon-El's actually addressing the fact that she's kind of a judgy bee sometimes. And I was like, okay.
I kind of like the contrast of Daxum with
Krypton.
Krypton.
I do too.
I really like neither one of them are really perfect. Like,
no,
but they're kind of like opposites of each other a little bit. But it's like when you have two groups of people and like you got these stereotypes between them, like there is some truth to both the stereotypes, but it's always way more complex.
Exactly.
Than that. And I feel like they've kind of done a good job of kind of showing that a little bit.
Where, I really agree with that.
Like, I'm kind of okay with them having Kara come across as like arrogant.
Because they're not ignoring it, that's a character flaw. And see, at first I was afraid they weren't making it a character flaw, they were just doing it, it was like they were accidentally writing her as an a-hole, and but now that they're actually making it a thing, I'm like, oh good, okay, so they're addressing it.
Well,
as part of the
I think
story.
The worry is that they were making her out to be an a-hole for the benefit of the storytelling.
Yes, which is what I've talked about before, the lazy writing. Yeah. It's just the lazy
it's like
writing.
Whenever you feel like a character is forced to do something out of character for
exactly.
them because they need someone
exactly.
to do that thing.
Exactly.
That drives me insane.
Well, and you know what? That was my problem with Maggie at the beginning, because at the beginning I really thought Maggie was likeable, and then I felt like she kind of treated Alex like a real douchebag. I felt like she pushed her to come out before she was ready, and I felt like she led her on to think that she liked her romantically, and then as soon as Alex, you know, tries to date her, she's like, oh nope, you know. Now of course they get together like two episodes later, but at the time I was just like, oh, you're really unlikable.
It's really crappy, but
yeah.
It's,
but again, I think that could have been lazy writing, because like two episodes later, they had them reconcile, and you know, so it could have just been like a false.
That's kind of the way the show goes. Yeah. Like one episode will have you all angry, and then the next episode you'll be like, "Well, I guess maybe this is okay."
It's like, well, I almost feel like different writers came in like shortly after that coming out episode, because I really feel like the writing got significantly better after
that. I would not
that.
Be surprised, because
I feel like they started using Manel to like flesh some things out, and they kind of repaired the Maggie Alex thing, and I feel like, oh, now things are starting to kind of feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We're gonna watch it no matter what.
Oh yes, like, oh yes, we are. Because you know what, I like that. Like
Supergirl,
you said,
Supergirl. We're
well, but like you said, I like the actors and I like the characters, and so therefore, it's not Arrow and it's not Legends of Tomorrow, so I can tolerate it.
Not as good as Flash.
No, but
it's
enjoyable.
It's a close second.
Well, I don't know if I'd say close, but it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable.
It's second to Flash.
Yes, <Let's say that. laughs> it's second with not much competition, because there's not much else on the playing field.
So
but yeah,
speaking of bad writing,
what are we talking about now?
I went to go see Transformers 5, so you don't have to.
Yes, so you are listeners, so, and me, Liz, because I saw the
funny.
First
the,
one
the, this is a movie so bad that Red Letter Media refused to do
now you saw
it,
it just because you knew it was going to be bad.
I saw it because I've seen all of them.
Yeah. But why have you seen all of them?
I've seen all of them because I really love Transformers as a kid.
Yes, I did too, but that's why I have stopped watching them.
And I watch them partially because it's like when you pass an accident, you can't help but watch it.
Yes,
I
understand
that. It's kind of that. I want to see what they're doing. I want to... You know,
so you can comment intelligently about it.
I make my friend John go with me to see them.
Yeah.
Because he's a good sport about it. And
You
know,
yeah.
But man, this one is it's probably the worst of the series. Me and John kind of disagreed. I actually kind of enjoyed this more than the fourth one.
Okay.
Because I think some of the things that really bugged me about the fourth one, they seem to not do in this one.
Okay.
Now, be but they were like minor
remember,
things. So, like,
I didn't see four or five.
In the fourth one.
Or two or three.
In the fourth one, they did this thing where they like rebuilt a bunch of the Decepticons. And after they rebuilt them, they had this weird transformation effect where they would kind of like all turn into cubes and then turn into something else. And it looked like a stock effect out of like, like Adobe After Effects or something.
Oh,
like
my
just
goodness.
Super cheap. They look super cheap.
Okay.
They weren't cool. You didn't see the thing turning into the other thing.
Uh-huh.
They didn't do that in this movie, and they kind of ignored it.
Okay.
Even when you see Megatron transform, He transforms normally. So I appreciated that that was gone.
Yeah.
So that's the only positive thing I can think of to say about this movie. But man, was this movie a mess. Like, they spend the first hour and a half like just introducing characters.
Now, pause right there. You just said the first hour and a half.
Yeah, it's
that's pretty sad, because how long did this movie go?
It's like a 2.5 hour movie.
Oh my gosh.
It like goes on forever, and it's just like, my gosh. It's like introduce some characters, action, introduce some characters, action, introduce some characters, exposition, exposition, introduce some characters, action, introduce some characters, action. And like they're introducing characters up until like the hour and a half mark, until we finally have been introduced to all of these characters, many of which could have been combined into you really could have like taken an axe to the script and maybe come out with something a little bit more coherent.
Yeah.
I looked it up. There's apparently 7 writers have credit on this movie.
But you know, like, that movie's a mess right there, because you don't get that many writers on a movie unless it's a mess.
But like, it's so bad that like they spend like the first half hour introducing characters, and then they kind of have this like little action and then thing, and then you move on and you kind of follow these other characters for a while. Like, they'll bring back characters that they introduced at the beginning of the movie. You forgot they were in the movie, because you felt like they were in a different movie, because it's just like there's no continuity to it, and there's like no cohesion.
Right.
And it's just like everything feels forced. It's hard to describe, because it's hard to watch.
Well,
it's
like, yeah. And I mean, that's why I haven't seen any of them except the first one, because I loved that series as a kid. And I loved the animated movie, I saw in the movie theaters.
Know, the first one of these movies was really good.
I wouldn't have said it was really good.
I mean,
it was okay.
I liked it. My only real...
I enjoyed but I didn't love it.
My only criticism of the first one was that the action shots were a lot of the action was too tied in on the people, and you didn't have enough wide shots of the Autobots or the Decepticons fighting each other. And
now, I didn't like the first one as much, because I wanted them to develop more of the Transformers characters.
Oh, well, they still are not doing
too much
that
with the humans.
They still are not.
Like, even you remember in the TV show, the humans were the props to the Transformers.
That's absolutely one of the biggest problems with this whole series, is that they never spend any time with any of the Transformers.
Because that's what everyone from our childhood loved. We had the toys. Well, my brother had the toys, but I played with them with him. And, it's like, that's what we love. We love that they were Transformers. We didn't love the humans.
Like, all of the attention that the robots get are just, like, in passing. Like,
and that's what bothered me so much.
Grimlock is in the movie for, like...
I love Grimlock!
He's in it for, like, 10... From the series. Eats a car and then throws it up, and that's it. That's all he does in the movie.
Me Grimlock say.
He doesn't even talk. He's not.
He doesn't say me Grimlock say.
He never talks. He never transforms into a robot. He's just a robotic dinosaur.
And don't think he transformed in the animated movie, did he?
He may not have, but he talked.
He definitely talked. That was the best part, was him talking. He sounded kind of like Cookie Monster and Elmo mixed together.
And he could transform, though.
Could he? What did he transform into?
He transforms into a robot. And I mean, he did in the series. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that. We're going to have to rewatch that. Yeah, no, but didn't he only show up in the movie? I thought he only showed up in the movie.
There was a whole series in the original show with
The movie that came after right?
It was before the movie.
It was before the movie?
There was like a 3-part, like the Dinobots were... There was a long story where like they created the Dinobots.
They were leading up to the movie,
they had to
deactivate
them, and then they reactivated them. He was an ongoing character, and they all transformed into robots.
Okay.
But in this movie, he never talks and he never transforms. Bunch of baby robots. Like, there's a bunch of baby Dinobots in this movie for some reason. But they never explain where they came from.
Who their dino baby mamas are?
Like, no, they don't explain anything about any of the robots ever. Lame. And that drives me really crazy about this series. Is like, I'm interested in the giant robots. I'm not interested in these characters that you keep introducing.
Like, there were literally in the series 2 humans. There was Spike and his dad.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was more than enough.
There's like 80 in this movie.
I know. You didn't need humans. The humans are not the point.
Yeah, it was overall just awful. And apparently they're making two more now. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hopefully not, because I went to go see. I know, I was going to say. I think a lot of people like you are seeing them just because it's bad. And yet that earns them a lot of money.
Every time I go see one, I come home and I say, I'm never watching another one.
I bet you will.
And then I do.
You will.
And then I complain about it.
Yes.
And it's a vicious cycle that I'm stuck in.
Well.
It's bad. Like, just get a decent writer. Just get one decent writer and let him write a movie.
I know.
I mean, that's all you have to do. Like it feels like... I was telling my friend this. I said, it seems like the first six writers all wrote a complete script. Mm-hmm. And then the seventh writer came in and said, okay, we need you to make a movie out of these six scripts. And he's like, great, let's just use everything. Yeah. We're just going to put everything and every script into
let's
this
just
movie.
Patch it all together.
And that's what this movie felt like.
So it's like Frankenstein, but it's Transformers.
It's just a mess.
It's like Frankenformer.
It's just a GD mess. So. Because we try not to curse here at the Nerdy Rat.
I know. I realized we were cursing a little bit. I was like, oh, what if kids listen to this? We have to.
Kids don't
curse.
Don't curse. It's bad for you. It makes you sound less intelligent.
Yeah.
Even if it makes you sound cool. So Transformers 5 is terrible. I don't know what. I mean, everyone expected it to be. It was.
And it lived up to expectations.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
So let's talk about some video game stuff.
All right, video games.
So I want to talk about something here at the Nerdy Rat. We really love charity and we love video games.
Yes,
and
yes.
And if you like both of those things, you should check out Games Done Quick, which starts on the 2nd, July 2nd.
July 2nd.
So that's
going to
be next
Sunday?
Week.
It's
going to be Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
So
now Games Done Quick is all for charity, and they do speed runs of different games, and a lot of it is like classic games from our childhoods, which is so much fun to watch. And like, they're doing them super fast,
so
and they have fun commentators.
You had never seen a Games Done Quick
before I met you. I didn't even know that existed. So I didn't even know there was such a thing as a speed run. I didn't even know there was such a thing as like televised events of video games.
Well, I only discovered
it so much since meeting you.
I only discovered it maybe a year before I met you. They haven't actually been doing it that long, but so what they do, they broadcast out of Herndon.
Yeah,
and there's
Herndon,
a hotel that they hosted at.
We're thinking of going 1 year, maybe not this year, but next year maybe.
Yeah. It's a week-long event. It goes from Sunday to Sunday, and it's 24 hours. And what they do is they invite all these different speedrunners from all these different games, and they do these like exhibition speedruns of games.
Mm-hmm. And they're the really good speedrunners. They're the best of the best. Like,
yeah,
they're really not
just
good. Inviting lamos who don't know how to do it.
And what's really fun about watching it, too, is that they talk about what they're doing, and they talk about the games. And it's like, I've discovered...
Yeah, there's really fun commentating while they do it. And they also have like background commentators in case the person is like really busy and can't talk for a few minutes.
And then,
but
it's all for charity. And I think, are they doing Doctors Without Borders this year?
I think they usually do Doctors Without
Borders,
or do they
alternate.
Change it?
There's two.
Is the summer one particular one, and then the winter one's
the
other one?
That's
I think they have two charities, right? So
Awesome Games Done Quick, I think, is their winter one, and then Summer Games Done Quick is the one that's about to start.
Yeah, and so people, they can bid money, and do you earn like little prize packs if you donate money? You get shout-outs on the air for donating frequently. They don't always get to everybody.
It's going
to
be Doctors Without Borders for this one coming
Doctors
up.
Without Borders.
And if you donate, they will read out your donation during the stream.
Uh-huh.
And then I think they also have a lot of like raffles.
Oh, raffles, that's
where, like,
right.
Where if you donate at a certain time, a certain amount, you get entered for a raffle to win
donated prizes.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff.
And I mean, of course, the best thing is you're donating to charity, but you know.
But even if you don't have money,
just watch the stream.
Because
not
only is it fun, but I think they get the ad revenue from you watching the stream too.
Oh,
and that
I
goes
didn't know
to the charity
that.
Too.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And tell people about
that's
it.
That's cool.
It's,
yeah.
It's a great event. I love watching it.
And they always post a schedule when they're going to do the certain games. So, like, if you want to see, like, Mario 64 or, like, whatever your classic game is that you love, a Zelda game or Castlevania.
I always like to put it on when I'm, like, just doing stuff around the house.
Yeah, like, it's good to have on while you're doing laundry and cleaning up and stuff
like
that.
Or I'll be watching with my friends. And it's so much fun because, like, not only do you get to see, like, these cool speedruns, like, you discover all these games that, like, you... maybe you never heard of or you never really saw, and you get to watch them kind of like play.
Well, like, because really you had told me that you liked Castlevania, but I didn't know what that was until I saw it on the speedrun. And now I'm like, oh, I want to play that. That looks really fun.
Yeah, it's so
we're talking about the original one, of course.
Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night, yes. Yeah,
it's not the original Castlevania.
Oh, well, all right. Symphony
it's
of the
it's
Night.
Probably the best.
The best Castlevania.
That was the one that was the first one that I played, and I really loved that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you get to discover so many games that you played. Mm-hmm. And it's all for charity. It's just it's great
really
event,
fun.
And
yeah.
it's really watching.
And
it
hey,
feels
if you
like
live close to Herndon, Virginia, you can buy some tickets and go check it out live.
They still have tickets or not?
No, you don't think so? It never looks like the rooms are full. Because, like, especially with it going 24 hours a day, I'm sure you can get in to see some of it.
How to attend guide.
Yeah, I don't know. But so while Matt's looking that up, we'll talk about another game. I have just started playing Starbound, which is on Steam. And Matt had played that one for a while. And we were looking for one that we would both like that we could play as a cooperative game together. I don't like a lot of the same kind of games he likes, and so it's hard for us to kind of find something.
I tend to like a lot more competitive games than
you
do.
Yeah, I don't really do. Yeah, you know, I don't like competitive.
And so this is kind of hits a sweet point between a competitive, like a challenging game,
right,
and like a farming
you have to fight,
simulator.
Exactly, which is really what I love. Like, because I was talking last podcast or one of the other podcasts about Rune Factory Tides of Destiny, and it's kind of like this. I say it like that because that's how they say it in the intro to the game, by the way. But you know what, that reminds me of like Supergirl, and every intro she's
every
like I'm Supergirl, and then the Flash too, he's like I'm the Flash. So anyway,
dramatic
Tides of
reading.
Destiny, yes. But anyway, so it's fun because it's a foraging game where you're on a randomly simulated world, I guess, and you have to gather all these resources and then craft your materials, and you have to, there's a little bit of a story so far. You have to fight some monsters. Now I'm getting pissed because I'm at the spot where there's like these zombie monster things and I haven't been able to beat him yet.
You're still not used to the combat in that game, which takes a while to learn.
Yeah.
Especially and so, when you have to use the mouse and the keyboard. And
yeah, because I've never really played computer games like that before. So I've mostly played the Wii and, you know, the old school systems like Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, original Nintendo. That's about it. Atari.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to it. I really love that game, though.
It's really fun. So what I'll do is, like, when I get frustrated fighting the little zombies, which is, like, the first challenging level you have to get through to get to, like, unlock the map. So I get a little frustrated. But I'm trying to play. I have two games going now. I'm playing one game by myself, and then we start a cooperative game together. So in the cooperative game, maybe I'll feel better because you can help me fight the zombies, and then we'll move on, and I'll maybe get some ideas for how to do it. I mean, Matt said he would help me on my individual game, but you know how it is. Like, I kind of want to beat him by myself on one game, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely challenging.
It's a hard game.
It's basically Terraria, which is another game that's very similar. But the main difference between this and Terraria is that this is an entire universe. And you have the spaceship. You can go to different planets and stuff, where I think Terraria is just one world.
Oh yeah, I could see where that would be a lot more fun, because like in this world too, it's like you mine under the surface to find stuff, as well as you can grow things on the surface. So it's kind of like once you've mined like an entire world, because the world is small enough that you can explore the whole thing.
Strip mine it,
right? Exactly, you strip mine it, and then you're gonna have to go find another planet to decimate because you've already stripped it of resources. So
I think you'll really start to like it once we get a little bit further and unlock
all the
upgrades.
I think so too, because it's kind of hard right now.
So many different things that you can make in this game.
Yeah.
Like, you can unlock like electronics, you can make circuit boards, you can make doors that open automatically.
That's cool.
You can make like little things that'll water your plants for you automatically.
Oh, sprinklers. I have those in Stardew Valley.
Yeah. And you can
And by the way, it's created by the same company that made Stardew Valley, which is really awesome. And we've talked about on another podcast.
Yeah, is it Chucklefish?
Yeah, Chucklefish.
I think are they the developer or the publisher? I think they're probably
Maybe you're asking the wrong person. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the difference is. But it's a Chucklefish game, so it's the same something as Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
So far, I like the game studio.
Okay. So, yeah. But they make pretty good stuff. I actually bought Starbound back when it was still in beta.
Oh, so you've had it a while.
Yeah, and when I first played it, like, it didn't have any of the story elements in it.
Oh.
It was just kind of like you just go to planets. And
oh, you took, yeah, because you were telling me about it, and I was like, that sounds kind of boring. I think I would get bored with that. But, yeah, I like that it has a story. So it's got, like, little missions and little side missions and little challenges.
They've woven the story into the game really well.
That is making me happy because at first I was like, I'm not really sure I'm going to like this game because I get bored without a storyline. Like, I'm not real good at just, like, sitting and playing when there's no purpose.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a small purpose, but I need like a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, I played some sandbox games. I usually like them, but.
Yeah. Now, see, that's again, that's where exactly we do. So it's hard for us to find something that we both like. You know, which game I really like was Castle Crashers. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
We need to play that one again. We might need to start a new game.
Yeah. I don't remember where we were in that game. I may not even have the save
the
anymore.
Yeah. Now, that one. I think we have to be on the same console to play it, right?
Like, if you buy your own copy, I think we could probably do like a LAN.
Online?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to, or we could just play on. We just both sit in front of my computer and play.
Yeah, that one was a really fun game, and it was the kind of game where I was good enough at it when I had Matt with me that I would not get frustrated. If I didn't have Matt playing with me, I don't think I'd like the game very much.
A couple more things I want to talk about. I've been playing Dead Cells.
Oh yeah, now tell me what Dead Cells is. Is it about hair and fingernails?
Nope. It's not about hair and fingernails.
But it could be.
It's a Metroidvania roguelike. So what that means is a roguelike is this genre of games where basically once you die, the game is over.
Oh.
And you would have to start over completely from the beginning.
Oh, that sucks.
Now, the roguelite is actually a term they came up with because these kind of roguelike games became popular. We started to see a lot of variations.
Uh-huh.
The roguelite is a variation where basically, yes, you have to start over if you die, but the more you play, you'll start to unlock different upgrades and stuff for your character.
Uh-huh.
So it makes getting through the game easier.
So you get to keep your upgrades and stuff.
Yeah. So like in Dead Cells, you unlock different weapons that you can get throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can upgrade the power of those weapons. Mm. And then you can get other you can increase the number of charges on your health flask.
Uh-huh.
And like all these other things to help make it easier as you go.
Oh, that's good.
And I gotta say, like I saw some people streaming it, and I thought it looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up picking it up, and I love it. It's so good. Like, the combat just feels so good in that game. It's, mm-hmm. like, it's really rewarding, and it feels, like, really, like there's this dodge mechanic where you can't be hit while you're rolling. So, mm-hmm. like, you want to roll to avoid a lot of attacks. And then mm-hmm. all the items that you get have a random chance of having different effects on them.
Mm.
So it makes it, like, all the loot that you get feels really, like really cool. And, like, the different builds you can do in the game is really cool. It's, like, really compelling because you want to keep, like, getting stronger so you can, like, get further in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in early access, but it feels like I'm playing a complete game.
Oh, that's
so
cool. So you just got that one recently?
I just got it a couple weeks ago.
And okay.
I've been playing a lot of it. I've probably got 20 hours in it already.
Yeah. Now, is that like an individual player game, or do you play with other people?
It's single player.
It's single player.
Single player only. But no, if you like Metroidvania roguelikes, mm-hmm. if you like cool combat, it's a really, really fun game.
That's
I would
cool.
highly recommend. I wouldn't recommend it for you because
those
challenging kind of games.
No. Well, okay. I'm into brainiac, intellectually challenging games, but I am not into combat challenging games.
Yeah,
No. It's just not for me.
Yeah. And then a couple weeks ago, they had the E3. Did you watch any of that?
But come on. Are you asking our viewers or me?
I'm asking you.
You know I didn't watch any of that. Yeah. you know the answer to that.
I watched some of it. But
I didn't even know it was on. Now, E3, that's like the video games.
It's the electronic expo where they like.
So it's kind of like a con, right?
It's like a convention where they announce a bunch of video
games. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they showed some previews of the Mario Odyssey. Did you see that?
I saw some news articles about Mario Odyssey, and people were saying, like, people who have test played it so far said, like, it was pretty cool. You could get different outfits for it. Yeah. I've read mixed reviews. Some people seem to really like it, and some people seem to hate it.
Yeah. It seems like one of the main mechanics is, like, he can throw his hat at enemies, mm-hmm. and then that hat, you become the enemy.
Oh.
So, like, you would, like, throw your hat at a Bullet Bill, and then you could ride as a Bullet Bill through the levels. Mm-hmm. And then there was this really other cool thing about it too, where like you would go into one area and you'd become a 2D Mario, like from the first Super Mario Brothers game, and then you would play through part of the level on like this flat surface as 2D Mario, and then you would jump right out back into 3D.
It'll now, what's really this cool. for the Switch?
It's gonna be for the Switch, yeah.
Which I'm not planning to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other.
Cool. Did you see any other game, good games come out?
Well, the other game that I don't want to be excited about this.
Uh-huh.
But Battlefront 2. Looks really good.
Now, what's Battlefront?
So, Battlefront is, it's Star Wars.
Oh, you might have told me about this before.
Okay. So you ever heard of the Battlefield games?
Yeah, are those like ones where you like go out and act out a battle?
Well, kind of like it's like a multiplayer game, like a 30 on 30 or 40 on 40 multiplayer game where you have two armies and then each side has like vehicles and stuff that you can get in. You can use vehicles to fight.
Okay.
This is basically that for Star Wars. So you can like reenact all these battles throughout all
the different. Yeah, I think you were telling me about the first Battlefront before.
So I played the old Battlefronts from like 10 years ago or whatever, Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2.
Uh-huh.
And I love those games. Those games were great. But when Battlefront 1 came out like last year, it got a lot of bad reviews and there was no single player in it. It was multiplayer only. And basically it didn't have a lot to the game itself. And then there was a bunch of DLC that you had to buy.
Uh-huh.
So like people were paying $130 and the game wasn't that fun apparently.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they announced Battlefront 2 and EA comes out and goes, all the DLC is going to be free.
Oh, that's
good.
And I'm
like, okay, now I'm listening.
Yeah.
And then they show in Battlefront 2, they're actually going to have classes like in the old Battlefront games.
So wait, the old Battlefront games had the same name?
Yeah. So it was Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2.
But now there's another Battlefront Battlefront 2?
This is like a remake,
I guess. All right.
That's confusing. I know. This is the second Battlefront 2.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that is very confusing.
But they're going to have classes, which I didn't even know wasn't in the last Battlefront.
Okay.
But that was in the old Battlefront.
Now, what's the class?
You have like a sniper, a warrior class. Okay, and a medic, and a soldier, and a sniper. And, you know, so, and like all these different classes. So, like, you would pick a role, kind of like Overwatch a little bit, but more like different Battlefield roles that you would fill.
Okay, yeah.
They announced that and they played the game and it looks good. And if they're really going to keep if they're actually going to do what they say they're going to do, then I'm probably going to have to get it.
Well, yeah, if you would enjoy it. That'd
but
be
I'm,
awesome.
But I am going to wait until the reviews come out and base my
decision. So you don't waste your money.
On that, because I know the first Battlefront, a lot of people got really excited about it, came out and they were super disappointed.
Right.
That it was bad.
Right. So. Yeah.
And the last story I want to talk about.
What's that?
We're getting up there. So.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
They've announced the Super Nintendo mini console.
Don't even get us started.
And they have already announced that it will be discontinued.
You know what? I feel almost like we could just direct people to the podcast where we talked about the NES mini console. Because it's the same. We have the same exact issues with this that we had with the NES mini console.
If this is your first time hearing about this, Nintendo announced the Super Nintendo Classic, which is going to have, I think, 21 games on it. It's also going to have Star Fox 2, which has never been released for the Super Nintendo. And they said, oh, don't worry, we're going to release a lot more than we did of the Nintendo. but we're only going to release it. So what? That means
they're going to release we're like only what, 200 instead of like 100 copies of it? It
could
like,
be. They're going to release 10 instead of 8. I don't know because I never saw the original.
Oh my gosh. Nintendo I know.
Video. So, and they said they're going to, it's going to come out in September and they're only going to release it to the end of 2017.
So ridiculous.
So it's going to be out for.
It's hard to watch my language right months? Now. Yeah, not even, barely even 3 months, like 4 months maybe, like, I guess. But that's
Nintendo,
so ridiculous.
I hate you.
And it's
you,
like
Nintendo.
Right before Christmas. You know how fast things sell out right before Christmas. Well, oh,
the
scalp, my gosh.
I mean, like they can release more, but the scalpers are just going to go more
insane.
Oh, because,
my gosh.
Because they know that this is going to sell no matter what.
Well,
so.
Exactly. So now it's not even like it matters that they say they're going to release more because they've already announced it's a limited run. So scalpers are going to run out and buy as many as they possibly can because they know they
Star
can just
Fox
hang on to
too.
Them.
Like, you're going to put an exclusive game on
this
console?
That's so ridiculous. On a limited run console. That's so ridiculous.
Every time I hear a story from Nintendo, I like them less and less and less.
I know. That's why I'm sticking with the old systems. You know, I mean, I prefer going
to
GameStop and
getting
my little $13.99 Zelda.
At least with the Nintendo Classic, I've got a lot of those games already. I can pick a lot of the games up and play them on my original Nintendo. Yeah.
Well, and actually, if we just want the games, I don't know if the Wii store is still active on the original Wii, but you were able to purchase N64, Sega, too. I think they had the license for Sega.
Yeah,
you get
but
Sega
I can't,
games, you get
Can't
Super
get
Nintendo.
Star Fox, too, though.
Not Star Fox 2. I know. Oh, no.
I love Star Fox
Did
as a
you?
Kid, too. That
my
was
brother
like one
really
of,
liked that one.
It's one of my... That and F-Zero and Zelda.
Yeah,
like,
my brother really liked all of those. All of those. Now, those are not my kind
I
of games.
I love the Super Nintendo, and it's a system I don't currently have because I haven't... Everywhere you go, they're super expensive, and the place that I normally go to get my consoles has not had one in since I've been going there. So.
Yeah, I don't know whatever happens. I know I don't have mine anymore.
I know one place I can go and buy one for like $150.
We're not
but
gonna
I'm
name
not gonna,
that place.
I'm not gonna spend that money on it because it's just I feel like it's all collectible systems are so overpriced right now, and it's because it's just it's such a craze now.
Yeah,
it really
and it's
has
a shame
gotten
because
to a point
it's
where
not people who are necessarily playing the games. I feel like.
I think a lot of people have gotten into it for nostalgia, but I think a lot of YouTubers have really pushed it and like.
Oh really? Oh okay.
Well, I mean, like a lot of YouTubers have made like really like elevated. I feel like the Angry Video Game Nerd. I love all of his content.
You showed me
I,
his stuff for the.
I love
he does
his,
the original NES.
I don't
want to
say
them.
Anything negative about the Angry Video Game Nerd because I watch like every video of his, and I think they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're great, like little mini films. But I feel like he kind of started this craze of like getting into retro video gaming.
And now everybody's buying them and we can't find them anywhere.
Back when I was originally collecting this stuff, I was like back in like the early 2000, like from like 98 to like 2003, I want to say, is when I was into it last time. And I could pick up like a Nintendo, I could pick up a rack of Nintendo games at a pawn shop for nothing.
Yeah.
Like they would they were giving the stuff away.
Yeah, exactly.
I could find old Commodore 64s at thrift stores for $5 a pop. You know, now if I want to get a Commodore 64, it's like $100 on eBay, you know?
Well, I really do think YouTube has done a lot to bring awareness to it. Probably not just as one person in particular, but I mean, because now that people can stream and they can film themselves and they can do little commentaries and stuff.
I mean,
it's
good
it popular.
It's good because it gives, like, that's our podcast is kind of based on that kind of stuff because
exactly,
we love all
like,
that stuff.
Exactly. And it's nice like, that people can
I feel
put
like
their
kinda,
creative stuff out there. However, it drives the prices up. Like
crazy the prices are insane
classic
now.
Classic systems. Exactly.
You know. I'm lucky. Exactly. I got my top loading Nintendo for like $70 or $60.
Yeah.
Because I found one at the good place around here to get stuff.
Right.
You know, but.
Well, that's hard. At least we have a classic Atari with lots of Atari games.
Yeah. And we have a classic Pong system now.
Yes.
To me.
Oh, yeah. You got the classic Pong system.
Talk about that
for a second.
I found a 1976 Odyssey Pong console.
Now, is Pong the only game that's on it?
It's got like.
Or it does have a couple games.
It's got like three different versions of Pong.
Okay, yeah.
With like different, probably different setups and stuff.
Yeah.
I ended up having to mod it a little bit to get it to run on our TV.
Uh huh.
Because it had those custom like connectors.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna have to pick up some batteries and play that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, but definitely. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Yep. If you feel so inclined, you can support one of our two favorite charities. We have Small Angels Rescue, which is the rescue that we foster rats with, and they are a no-kill rescue that works with rats, mice, guinea pigs, gerbils, and hamsters, based out of Frederick, Maryland, and. Our other one is Matt's Extra Life. You want to say about that?
Extra Life unites thousands of players around the world in a 24-hour gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals. And all the money donated, I believe, goes to patient care.
Yeah, actually 100% goes to patient care for patients who can't afford
their medical bills. Say that because I was a little confused on where the money went when I first started. And I remember the first time I did Extra Life, I saw that people were doing video game streams for charity. And I was like, that's cool. That's something I can do.
Yeah.
Because I always feel weird like streaming because I never really get many people watching me. And I feel like I never talk. So I'm like, but like when I do it once a year for charity, I'm like, I'm doing it for a purpose. And exactly, like, you know, I'm raising money and.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
And it's nice that they don't take administrative fees out of the money that's donated, which is really great.
Yeah. I think I might be streaming on our Nerdy Rat channel this year. Because I have my own personal channel.
Yeah.
Which I've streamed on in the past, but I actually created a Twitch for the Nerdy Rat.
Well, so, then maybe that's where you should do it.
Probably. Yeah, probably. I might start streaming. I might do some other smaller streams if I ever get the energy to actually try and stream. Because I feel like. Like, you have to donate, like, you have to really invest energy if you're going to stream because, I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well, like, you know, try to, you know, talk and, like.
Yes, exactly.
I see a lot of people stream where they're just kind of sitting there quiet. I'm like, even if I don't have anybody watching me, I want to try and be able to talk while I'm doing it.
Yeah, and it's good practice, so.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Well, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next time.
All right, bye.